You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Welcome to Gamer Geeks, where we take a look at the latest events in video, card, and tabletop games.
Holy good lord, it's been forever since I've heard that intro. Hello!
Fred! Oh, I forgot I got louder. Ah.
There you go, CJ.
I forgot I got louder. I made that so long ago. This is Gamer Geeks! Episode number 24. Yes, it's finally doing episode 24. You guys, it's only been a year. Recorded May 6, 2018. I, of course, am CJ. Joining me, as always, are Rowan Delbert. Hello, sirs.
Hello.
Greetings.
But that's not all. We have a very special guest this week, you guys.
Who's that?
That guy right there, creator of the upcoming game, Wild Mage, at wildmagegame.com, live on Kickstarter right now, Lucas McCann!
Hello!
Woo! Thank you for coming on, sir.
Oh, pleasure to be here.
Now we are going to...
I couldn't get my camera working, so just you know, bear with me here.
No worries. No, it's understandable, considering you're, you know, busy working on a game. Cameras are, you know... Yeah,
cameras are for other people.
It's for behind the scenes.
Oh, what's man. That?
Technical issues on a Geek.io podcast?
Yeah, right. It never happened. I always make the joke of if one thing does not break, it's not then it's probably not being recorded. Thus, that'll be the thing that's breaking.
All right.
Oh crap! No, don't worry. Don't worry. I've got the recording going, CJ.
Rage. Oh man. So yeah, it's been a bit since we've done one of these actual podcasts, and we're not doing the actual podcast this time. We're gonna grill Lucas about his game coming up.
Oh, live! That's great.
Yeah, gonna make you sweat a little bit. Not really.
Not so
medium or well done.
Medium rare, maybe.
Okay.
Leave it a little pink inside.
The pink's the best part. Before though we get too far into the meat of the show, sorry podcast listeners, you're about to get a commercial break. Stay tuned. And welcome back. If you want an ad-free experience, make sure you tune in live. Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Just keep it running 24/7. You know, you're bound to hit one.
Well, I have like this. I have a speech that I just kind of hit in like muscle memory, and I haven't done one of those pitches for this show in over a year now. So it's like Thursday, no. Monday, no. Wednesday, no. Fuck, what day is it?
Which day do we do things that doesn't have an intro now?
Because right. Usually we've been just using Gamer Geeks for video game streams.
Yeah, it's our co-op stream of the week.
Oh, nice, nice. What do you guys play?
A little bit of everything.
Usually Overwatch.
It's been Overwatch pretty recently.
Yes, I will join you sometime.
Yes!
That would be fantastic. Yeah. We did Monster in a World a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That launched.
Yeah, yeah. Hit me up. Send me a message. Zaybin, Z-A-Y-B-N.
Go up right now on that one.
Nice.
Sounds good.
If you put your BNet stuff in the Zoom chat, nobody else but us can see that.
Copy that.
All right. So, so Lucas, congratulations on a already successful Kickstarter, my friend.
Yeah, I don't even know how that happened. So, you know, we were going to start everything, but it kind of just got to where it is right now on its own. So that's good.
It's insane. Like I meant to get in for the early bird stuff, and me being me, I completely forgot to get in on the early bird stuff.
I'm the same way, you know, so I don't blame you. It's like, oh yeah, I got to get that. And then by the time I get around to it, it's gone.
Yeah. So I'm not too stressed about it. I mean,
No, you don't need to stress. There's still some great tiers. Anything you get on the Kickstarter, though, will be Kickstarter exclusive, so you're not going to find it in game. You're not going to get it in game. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, you are currently at 31,000. Only needed 10,000 to beat this. Like that is amazing, dude. I'm so freaking happy for you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Hopefully, we can get to multiplayer. That's my big goal because that's what it was designed for. You know, I wanted a game I can play with my friends and family. All around, so hopefully we'll try and push for that. But right now, I mean, I'm pretty happy with where it is. You know, we can at least at this point we can at least get the game launched, get it on Switch, which is good because that's what everyone's asking for. And then after launch, then we can do if we don't make it for whatever reasons, we can do multiplayer and stuff after we get some revenue. So that'll be. I mean, I'm happy with that. So.
And that's a killer way of thinking. Like, not, you know, I've talked to some developers like, oh, we didn't get into the Kickstarter. So that might happen. Maybe eventually, maybe probably not.
Yeah. And see, so here's the thing, like this Kickstarter, and this is what I tell everyone, this is about the game, right? You know, it's been a long time since it's ever been about the game. Like we want this game. We want to, it's the game we want to play. It's the game we want to make. I've been self-funding it for a year, trying to get everything worked out. So by the time we get to Kickstarter, you know, the risk on you guys is minimal because we've already got like all the major stuff like that would destroy, you know, I don't know how to do this. We're going to have to, you know, so the risk is minimal and the money is just, you know, it's a small amount and people are like, well, why is it so small? It's because I'm not going to get paid, you know, until it's released. Until we actually make money, and the money's just for stuff like music, like with all the goals, it's everything we have in there, like servers, all the stuff that I can't get someone to work for free for. That I need to pay money. These are the budgets that we put together, and you know that's what it's about. It's about getting the game out there, and I think that's what Kickstarter is for. You know, and but it's all about the game. Like let's just get it made.
So who's on your team? Is it just you're doing this by yourself?
Oh, I have a music guy. Yeah, Fabio Armani. He does really good. I'm very big on music. I can't do music. I'm terrible. I played the oboe in high school. Oh, man. Band teacher hated me. Like I have no talent for it whatsoever. But everything else I've got pretty much locked down, so... my brother, he isn't helping right now, but I'm trying to get him on board. That's what some of the money's for. He worked for DreamWorks. He did a lot of movies, Madagascar, all that. He was the animation, teacher. So he's going to bring in like a lot of the animations, a lot of the concept art stuff that you'll see in the wallpapers. Really talented. So hopefully we can get him to work. Right now we can at least get him to do some stuff, so that'll be really good. And so he'll handle like the 2D stuff, animation, help with animation, but everything else is pretty much on me. So other than
it looks fantastic, by the way. Like if it looks half as good as even the Kickstarter image, the Kickstarter videos and stuff look, then I'm way sold on this game. It looks gorgeous.
Oh, it does. I don't know if I could share my screen somehow, but I have the demo. I could go around for you, but we can do that some other time. No, it looks really good. Like, and even I'm like, wow, this looks great, you know, when you're actually playing it. So I'm pretty happy. just getting everything to work. Right now, we'll be releasing a demo island for everyone, pre-alpha version for all the backers. So even if you back like a dollar, you can check it out.
Awesome.
And then we have a surprise halfway through the Kickstarter in a couple weeks after.
Surprises, I think.
after we get all the you know, the streamers and the press and stuff their copies, then we're gonna open it up and we're gonna have something pretty fun as far as Kickstarter campaigns go. So
is it the thing that the people sent out the other day?
Which one?
The
my you got to understand, my inbox is just
was it the 10 things? I'm trying not to say so much so you don't have.
Okay. Well, I don't know what it is, but we have something. I think it'll be a lot of fun, so we'll leave it at that.
I think it's what actually got me to contact you originally, because it was one of the most unique, because I'm pretty, you know, we're somewhat popular, I guess, like, so I get hundreds and hundreds of, hey, check out this, PR people just emailing me and like I got the first one, I'm like, okay, cool, it's another Kickstarter, like I looked at it, I'm like, it's pretty, and then I just kind of moved on, and then I saw you guys doing more and more unique things with it, and I'm like, okay, now I'm actually interested.
Yeah, so that's the thing, like, I mean, there's, we see a lot of the, I see a lot, I'm a gamer, like I've beta tested for every MMO. I've played almost probably every game. I don't know. But I see a lot of the same things over and over. And with the capabilities, like I've been using the Unreal Engine for a real long time. I started back when I was 11 working at the Air Force Academy's Team Center in Panama. And we couldn't go anywhere, you know, outside the Air Force base. So that's pretty much all we had. But we do, that's when Diablo came out, Quake 1 came out, Warcraft. I mean, it was great. We had a bunch of computers. We'd network them all together, play multiplayer there. And that's when I started doing mods for like the Quake engine. I actually made a version of this game back then on the Quake 1 engine.
Oh, that's right.
And so I'm just pretty much bringing that back to life in, you know, in a way today. Like, I mean, back when voxels were first created, I was there using Quark, I think, for, I won like some award or something once for, because I was using VRML programming language back when that was a thing. In Boulder, Colorado. So I've been doing this for a really long time. So that's kind of why I can do it all by myself. And you know, we're going to keep streaming, keep showing you the production as we go to launch. So you'll see the entire thing from beginning to end. I don't know if you've seen our first Kickstarter, it was terrible. And the graphics.
I did see it when I was first searching before.
Like, no, that's what we want to show. Like, when I first did the Kickstarter, I was like, you know, like, I didn't know anything about Kickstarter and didn't know anything what to do. We just had the first beginnings of all, like, the tech stuff done. And so, but it's good that, I mean, it failed miserably because I had no idea what I was doing. But it's good to show that and then show, you know, keep going, show the progression, because a lot of times, like, developers, they just do things closed doors. They don't want to be made fun of. They don't want to show their secrets. They don't want to, you know, oh, people make fun of the animations, or this isn't right, that's not right. Of course it's not right. Like, it's pre-alpha, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's development. You're developing. But I want to show all that because you never get to see it, you know? So I want to show what we're doing. And yeah, sometimes it's not going to be like the best, but that's okay, because I know where it's going to be. I have a vision of what the game should look like, what I want, what the aspects I want to see in the game, the stuff I want to do and incorporate, and things that I've wanted for a long time, like fairies. I mean, it's so simplistic. It's my favorite race to play, but no game will ever do it. No game will do floating islands. No game will do, I guess there are a couple that just came out that I didn't know of till now, but you know, just stuff like that. Just bring the world that we want. Sky ports, you know, I want to be able to traverse from, you know, deep underground to the moon to the, I mean, so it's a very big world, you know. And
yeah, and what one of my, like, I love this aesthetic. I'm a huge fan of, like, Skies of Arcadia implanted on me very heavily as a teenager. So, yeah. Like, so seeing, like, a very similar, but like seeing that kind of aesthetic, but in a high fantasy world.
A super fantasy. Like, I mean, it's
beyond high.
It's as far as you can go. It's going to be great.
They have airships, CJ.
I know. That's what I was like, Skies of Arcadia. Like, I wanted, can I be a sky pirate in this? That's a question. Can I?
Okay.
Can I
I'll touch on the airships first. You know,
this is important.
Okay, so airships, right? So the floating islands everywhere, whatever. You have your airship. Airships are like your player house, right? So inside, they're going to hold your crafting materials. They're going to have like your crafting stuff. So if I'm going to make items and stuff like that, everything's in your airship. So you go in there, you make whatever you have. It holds your mounts. And then so you can buy
my airship is what you're telling me.
Huh?
I could put my horse in my airship.
Yeah. Your horse, your dragon, whatever. they'll be in there. So it holds all your stuff. You can do all your crafting. So it's very useful as far as, and it's also means of transportation. So, but it'll take damage. You'll need to repair it. All that kind of things. So yes, there'll be ship combat. There'll be, you know, you'll be fighting other ships. You'll be fighting. So another thing is dungeons as far as that. So there'll be dungeons for your airship, dungeons for your mount, dungeons for just, you know, the regular where you have like you know, running around, like in the demo. So different versions of those dungeons. Cause I think, like, a lot of times they give you mounts, but what's the point really? Except you go a little faster. They don't really, no, nothing has a point. Like, it's just, okay, you can move a little faster, but there, you don't really use it at all. So if you could run faster, you would just run. So there's no point in going to like some obscure island, taming some mount and then bringing it back. Like, so every mount will have some different abilities. And you'll need them for like the mount based dungeons and stuff. Cause a lot of stuff your airship won't be able to reach. So you have to run in with a mount. Eventually you'll get to like the dungeon, then you'll run into the dungeon, whatever. So
that's awesome.
Is it kind of like, you have a quest where you have to be on your mount, like mounted combat or something like that?
Well, it's not like you have to be. It's like the dungeon is designed for the mount, right? Mm. So if you're just running, you're not going to get very far because, I mean, you're slower, you know? So, I mean, if you have haste or you have some spells, you could do it, but it's not designed for that. It's designed for your mount. It's designed to use your mount's abilities and stuff like that. In order to do mounted combat. So you can cast and stuff on your mount, you can attack, your mount has its own attacks, things like that. So they're more designed in that way. So like in the airship one, sure, like you can be in your airship, you can get out of your airship, stand on the top, you know, floaty thing of it and start casting meteor on other ships. Sure, you can do that and get back in your airship. That's what it's designed for. But you're using your airship to achieve a goal. Like, it's not just there for no reason. You know, everything I try to put in has a reason for being there. Just like, you know, voxel terrain for the islands, traps, all that other stuff. Like, you actually do something with them instead of them just being there for, you know, for whatever.
Yeah.
Just for show and all that. Like,
yeah, just for like a tech demo. Like, games just put stuff in there and it's just like, oh, well, why do I need to use this?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we try to have everything have a use. And in this kind of style of game, everything, it's easy to have a use for everything. So we try and go up with it. And it gives it a different feel, you know. Sometimes I forget there's even a surface when I'm down in the dungeon for so long. And then you go back up there and you're like, wow, I'm outside. So it's
pretty cool. You do that like blink. Like. Yeah. You do that blink. It's like, why is it so bright?
And that's exactly it. I'm like, wow, this is pretty. Man,
why is that floating death part staring?
Of the game. Yeah. So, you know, and that's the kind of contrast you want. You know, you get lost in one area of it and that feels like the whole game. And then you go back out and you're like, oh, there's the rest of this game, you know? So that's one thing I love about some games I've played is that you're able to have that contrast because you don't want to be doing the same thing all the time. You get burnt out, you know? So you want, like with treasure hunting, which is more like exploring ruins, kind of Tomb Raider style. You get lore. You still get good spells and skills and stuff, but you're using different, you know, you're thinking about stuff differently, doing puzzles, you're avoiding traps,
that kind of thing, instead of just like hack and slash. So you, sometimes you need a break from just doing the same old thing. Like other ones, you're sneaking on to like, there's like this airship fleet, right? And so it's like an airship, dungeon giant airship. You sneak onto it. Maybe you blast a hole in the base. You sneak on and you got to steal something from out of there or whatever, and then jump back on your airship and take off, you know,
that kind of stuff. We've got a question from the chat. Can you name your airship?
Right now, the I'll put that in. But right now, the one that I'm showing everyone is nicknamed the Potato. Everyone's like, "Is that a potato? I thought it was a potato." So that one's nicknamed the Potato. I'm gonna put it on a little plate on the model. Maybe give that out to all the backers, you know. Since that happened, I'm like, yeah, we should be able to name these. So on the back of your little airship, there'll be like a little plate, you know, like with boats do, and then you can have like whatever your name is going to be.
And you have the, we also got another question. Can you customize it as too? Like they're not all going to look like the same airship, right?
No. I mean, that would be silly.
Yeah.
so yeah, you can customize your airship, in a few ways. One, they all have turns, some kind of turns or some kind of whatever capability. The Founder's airship has got two shadow drives, so Therion shadow drives. So they're the only airships that are going to be able to go to either of the twin moons until someone can go to the surface and mine Oblivium to make shadow drive. So it's going to be a while. So they're the only ones that are going to be able to ferry people to the moons until that happens. Just keep that in mind. So you have different engine upgrades, different turn upgrades, different style, different looks for it. There'll be a lot of different. We're going to try and get as many different ships in as possible, because you want a unique style. Like when I play games, like I want it to look as much as like you know, unique for me, so everyone will know when I'm there. You know what I mean? So that'll be the goal.
The heavens will open up as your personal
as you
airship.
Come down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, oh, that's him. I hate that guy.
Your full escort just comes out, raises the sun.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So like what gave you the idea to even do this in the first place? What was your muse with this?
I mean, the game is like a fusion of a lot of games that I like, a lot of different things in games I like, I guess. So the airship part of it definitely comes from Final Fantasy. Back when I was playing the first one and you got the airship, like when I was little, it just blew my mind. Like, wow, I can fly. And I love the way that they did. You didn't just get the airship. Like, you first got a canoe, right? Now I can cross a river. Now I've got a ship, and now I've got I mean, it was great. Even by today's standards, it's still great for me. That was a great thing. So now I can go to these different areas, and I spent a lot of time just flying around, seeing where I could land, you know, seeing what I always loved that about games, like going and exploring different places, going where I shouldn't be. You know, stuff like that. So Final Fantasy for that. Diablo, I think I like as far as the multiplayer kind of dungeon aspect. I like small teams. Like, I usually just play with my group. So a massive MMO, you know, I'm too old right now. I don't have the time. Like, I need something smaller. I just want to play with my friends, my family, whatever. You can meet new people, but just keep it a little smaller, right? You're not going to take anything from the game. I don't need to see a bunch of people running around, you know, doing whatever. I don't think that really adds a whole lot. You can still, as long as you can still group with people, find a group, or, you know, sometimes you just want to go do stuff by yourself. So I think the Diablo style multiplayer works out very well, for the worlds that we're making. So, cause it's not too much, you know? And then, there's a lot of other games. Let's see. And then the, Devil May Cry, the combat style of Devil May Cry with the sword and gun, that is heavily influenced on my sword and spell that I implemented, and it's great. I have so much fun with it. Like, I really need a healer though, because so I hope we hit that multiplayer switch. My playstyle just, you know, I've got to make like a life leech build or a shield build, because you know I've always been the warrior. We're just running and hope for the best. But like right now, I just get torn apart. So
I usually run healer, so I'll help you out.
I'm kind of with you. Like I'm a tank, but like if I get overwhelmed, I'm just done. Like so, yeah,
because it's not something I usually think about. Like you know, I'm just kind of like I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm all right. I have enough armor. I will never die. Why am I dying? Yeah.
I'm not fine. I'm not fine at all.
Nothing is fine anymore.
There's only five of them. Why do they have the little skull?
Yeah. So, I mean, in Wild Mage, you face a lot more enemies. You've got to be a lot more strategic and use your environment, because they're not going to stop coming. It's not like other ones where you're going to spend 20 minutes beating on one guy. You've really got to be more strategic about how you do kind of everything. And a lot of spells will kill you. So if I throw a meteor at myself, it's going to hit me pretty hard. Now, if I can live through it, sure. But if I can't live through it, it's going to hurt.
Strategery.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe I want to blow this bridge, have them drop into lava. Maybe I need to conjure a wall to block them entirely, because the miasma that comes in, it keeps modding monsters. So they're just going to keep coming. So you have to think about different ways to achieve your objectives or get to the next part. Than just, I'm going to kill them.
There's not one way to do.
There's a lot of ways. So you could maybe break through the wall next to you, dig a tunnel and try and get around. You could, you know, use your environment. You could try and build a like kind of trap for them, so they'll just mindlessly come in and die. But you gotta figure out a different way, because maybe if you have a good team, you could hack and slash. Like if you have a solid one, you could burn your way through it. Sure. But you have a lot more ways to achieve your objectives. You know what I mean? Than just the same one. Cause like I said, you don't want to get burned out just doing the same thing over and over. And I think it's the engines now support a lot more where you can have these choices instead of being forced to do. I hate being forced to do one thing.
Yes.
As far as the gamer. So I like to have that variety in there.
Other than the really cool like stuff that you're doing for the Kickstarter, like one thing that I wish more games would do, and I haven't really gotten a lot of games that'll play with this, is fully abusable environments. Like these things, yeah, they're there, but like why in the world shouldn't I be able to, if I'm using a meteor spell, why is the ground completely unscathed? Why am I not able to just destroy this thing? And like it's never made any sense to me, even when I was younger. Like I'm using this fireball in a forest. Why is the forest still around me?
You know, I had the same questions, and yeah, that's something where I'm trying to, that's why we have a lot of things implemented we do, because it just doesn't make it, especially with magic, you know, you don't, the whole premise of the game was magic is so, so powerful. And Wild Mages, I don't know, you've played D&D,
yes,
the backstory, but like they deal in primal magic. So this is kind of like an inspiration from that. But in our own way, but they're so powerful that you don't really see how powerful or why magic was banned in the first place or why everyone is afraid of mages. You know, in other games, it's like you spend 3 seconds or 5 seconds casting a spell. If someone kills you, you die. That's not really like the reality of mages, right? I don't think they've been done in the way that they should be. So that's why I wanted to bring it to the table, if you were,
yeah,
really throw the destructive nature that magic has. But there are balances to this system. So the thing with, you can destroy anything. So if I go on a town and I just rain meteor storm, right? I work for an organization and they're going to take it out of my paycheck. So
It's so awesome.
So I was asked this question on another podcast. They're like, well, wild mages aren't really good. And I'm like, no, they're more like a walking catastrophe. But like, just like in real life, what keeps people in check is money, like the economy. So they, all your pay will be docked. So if I destroy this house in this town, or I destroy this bridge in this town, they're going to dock my pay for whatever the cost is to repair whatever it is I do. Now, maybe sometimes I need to do it and I can afford to do it, and it'll benefit me, so I can still do it. But there's going to be drawbacks to rampaging around there, just like in real life. So, you know, if you go on this rampage, you're going to have to spend a lot of time in a dungeon or some kind of make some craft some stuff so you can, you know, get out of debt. So it'll keep everything in balance, you know, from just destroying the world.
That's fantastic. I have some, we have some questions from the chat here. Are there plans or are there currently any kind of NPC companions in the game?
So like I said, all the schools of magic are in play. You can conjure, like I have a clone spell. You can clone yourself. One of the, Key to the Starry Heavens, the spell for the Kickstarter, that's a summons the entire Zodiac. So that's like 12, 13 guys. So they all do different stuff. One will shield you, heal you. Others will fight, cast spells, whatever. So you'll have companions. You also have different kinds of companions, like a sprite that you can summon, and it's just like a torch, you know, that lights areas and flies around, whatever. Stuff like that. I was thinking of making it like a potato, a little small potato to follow you around, the little airship. So there'll be little stuff like that, but yeah, you'll have different summons. You'll have different, maybe you'll save someone in a dungeon and they'll, you know, come around. So there's AI that can go around and do their own thing, but they'll kind of stay with you. So that sort of thing. Yeah.
Cool. Next question up, we have the environmental damage. Is it permanent or does it regen over time? Are you able to repair anything yourself?
We have the ability to repair as far as building and repair. So islands are held in the air with float stones, right? So in the core of these islands, and you'll see the little, in the images, you see little blue sparkles at night, like kind of like little glowy things. Yeah. Those are all kind of like float stones. So the high concentration keeps them in the air. If those are removed or all the magic is sucked out of the float stones, the island will drop.
Is it me?
Up.
It's me.
What's wrong? Hello.
Hey. CJ?
There we go. Internet, yay!
Oh, okay. You scared me there.
So I guess in short, yes.
I heard all of that and I completely agree with you. And
sure, why not?
It's very nice that you said nice things about your wife involved in there too. So thank you.
No, of course, absolutely.
That's important.
It is. Very important.
For the story, about how long are you expecting the story to be if we're following the storyline?
Oh, see, I don't
intended, but you don't have any idea for that yet.
Yeah, I don't know. At least we're going to try and hit 20 hours. So here's how the story is going to work. Like everything is involved in the story, right? From the island. So each island people don't know a whole lot about the world, how they got up in these floating islands in the first place. They know how it happened, but they don't know a lot of the history. And so that's kind of a great part of it, because as you go to the islands and you go into like the treasure hunting aspects and you find the lore, you kind of see what happened with the world before it got to where it's at. And you'll, for each island, you'll learn a more piece of the history, and then you can piece it all together and find out what happened before you ultimately, you have to go down to the surface and deal with the actual issue. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but as far as numbers go, trying to do at least 20 hours, and it should be more than that, but I think that's a modest.
That's still a really good, still a really good number.
Yeah, a story is important, and it's a good story, and I'm pretty happy with it, so hopefully everyone will enjoy it.
As for the like the world generation, is it going to be randomly generated, or is it all going to be like this island's always going to be here?
I hate procedural generation, just to be honest. Like,
okay,
I always hear procedural this, procedural that. Oh, the dungeon's going to be procedurally generated, and it'll be a different dungeon the entire time. And then when you play it, it's, you know, a randomized three different things together, and that's not really like different, is it?
Yeah.
No, it's the same. Like, and you know, it's the same. It's like you're not wowed by, oh, this is new. So, or I'm doing things the old school way, where, you know, you make each island at a time, you think stuff out, you make it actually like interesting. And so, no, it's not going to be different every time, but I kind of like that. Because the old games that I really liked, I knew the dungeons, I knew where stuff was. Because you're gonna have to go back. Like, so, oh, I forgot to mention the Zelda style aspect. So, you have to acquire your spells for monsters, right? Spells and skills. So, if I don't have a powerful, or if I'm not powerful enough to destroy this rock or to get access to this entryway, I can't go there. So, even if I'm down in this dungeon, if I can't get past this thing, then that's as far as I can go. So I might have to come back to it later. So you're going to be coming back to different places that you were before, and go deeper into wherever it was as soon as you have the ability to do so. So that's another aspect that if I can't, you know, if I don't have the bubble spell to float across this chasm, or, you know, I can't break this thing apart, or if I can't unlock this puzzle, you know, then that's it for this dungeon. I have to go and figure something else out. So,
okay.
Yeah. Getting those key items that you need, spells to be able to progress.
And there'll be different, spells that can achieve, you can achieve the same goal differently. Like, I can fly across this as a fairy. Chasm's not going to bother you because you can fly, right? But if you're not a fairy, then you're going to have something else that can get you across there. Or there's a variety of spells that can achieve the same goal. So it's not like you have to have this one thing from this one monster. You can kind of do it however you want.
Okay. Hit a switch across the room by throwing a potato at it. From Carrie.
I do like now how like the entire thing could be revolving around potatoes. Wild Mage the potato.
But can it run Doom?
So about how long have you I think you told us in the pre-show, but how long have you been working actually on the game, other than the pre-show?
So it's been about a little over a year now. We started off just working on all the mechanics. I had ideas for things. Like, I've always had a sword, but I've never been able to cut anything in half. So that's always kind of bothered me. So just stuff like that. Like, just overall concepts of what I wanted to achieve. And I think we've gotten all those worked out. But about a year, and so now it's more like they're in polish animations and all, you know, all the little stuff, but that's very important. But the main game breaking things have been all ironed out. So,
okay. I'm noticing, and this is one, if you can't tell me, just let me know. I'm noticing here late 2019 for delivery on the Kickstarter. Right, 2019? Yeah, 2019. Right? Did I read that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Q4.
Yeah, Q4. Are we talking holiday ish of next year for the full game release, or?
I would like to release it on my birthday of the 19th, but we're not going to use. I've been told by so not to use.
Nothing actually.
So, you know, things happen. So, but hopefully around there. We'll see. At least get early access going. We'll have alpha and beta before then, but, you know,
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
When are you looking on like alpha for the Kickstarter backers?
Alpha will probably be Q2, so somewhere in between second quarter, third quarter for beta, and then of course fourth quarter early access release. So we're gonna, like I said, we're just gonna keep streaming content, keep everyone involved. So we'll have, if you guys, they didn't get into the alpha or the beta or something, we'll be having little contests and stuff throughout the way just to get in. We're going to have stuff for the alpha and beta people to, you know, achieve while they're there so they can bring it into their game when they're done. You know, just try and keep everyone involved as much as we can through the whole process. And I think because the feedback is great as far as other people playing it and what their experience is, what they like, what they don't. And I think the whole goal is to keep the scope small before release and get as much feedback as possible. Because I don't like, sometimes games try to be too big. I mean, my dev team is small, obviously. So I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. I would just say I can do this and this is how I can do it. So, you know, I'm trying to be very clear on that. But afterwards, keep developing content and stuff like that. But if we get some games, they make a giant world, but it's empty and there's nothing there. So you're spending like 20 minutes going through a lot of nothingness. I did that with, Vanguard, Saga of Heroes, you know, spent 12 hours in a zone that was completely empty, you know, but that's just how it is sometimes. So
yeah,
you know, trying to go around that.
Uh-oh, unhappy little one.
Yeah, time for a meal.
Sorry, babies. I'm a father. It's always a thing. Looking to see, yeah, I got some Carrie, one of our other hosts for our other shows. It's like, I'm Irish American, of course everything revolves around potatoes. we have a what? And I don't know what that was about. Twitch delay, yay! So, of all the things that you have for the, and by the way, thanks for the no wanting to overpromise and underdeliver. I'm looking at you, Mighty Number Nine, and it can't be a Gamer Geek show without me throwing shade on fucking No Man's Sky again.
Have you played Mighty Number Nine, Lucas?
No, I haven't. I just, you know, it's been a busy year. So.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I've read the stories, and you know, like same with No Man's Sky and stuff, and that's what we want to avoid, and that's the pain of procedural generation.
Yeah,
Right. I mean, I feel it's better to have a smaller amount of solid content than it is to have a vast amount of, you know, okay, there's some worms here, you know, like
quantity over quantity.
Right.
Exactly. Because like people like take the whole thing. Well, you could patch stuff in, or you can patch fixes. You're right. But you could also patch in better content later and have good fixes waiting you like ahead of time.
Like spend the patches thing for content instead of fixes.
Exactly.
Right. And that's the exact point. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. So, and you know, everyone's got their own dev story and their own struggles and stuff. But as far as what we want to do is just make it good content from the get go and, you know, get as much feedback as we can. So we're not patching this or changing that, you know, and just focus on making better content to release later, you know?
Yeah, and that's like, I love that. And because like my wife was one of those ones that looked at it like 2019, why are you going to kickstart this now? I'm like, well, because I have faith in this project. And also, you know, I would rather this take, you know, a year or more to get to me and me want in like, and if you let us do the demo and like stream stuff, cool.
Oh, yeah.
I will support you through this the entire way. And I am now personally monetarily invested in this. So I want this to succeed as much as I possibly can. Even if it's just a little bit, I want this to go as far as I possibly can.
Yeah, we'll have the demo out for press. I just finished compiling it, so it'll be we have the Steam keys all set, so you'll be getting it in the next couple of days, and you guys can try it out. And then as it goes on, I'll make sure you guys have the
whatever update we have, so you can test it out. And then feel free to give me feedback. Like I said, and I want everyone to know this and be very clear, is that just give feedback. If something's wrong or you don't like something, just let us know. I'm like, I can fix it. You know?
Yeah.
Or we can change it. Let's not have a terrible game because, you know, everyone's trying to spare someone's feelings. Like, it's about the game. Let's keep it focused on the game. Let's make a good game. I think a lot of people like, you know, it's a good game that needs to be made. So let's make it good. And let's not do all the stuff that is normally done. Let's just make it.
Creative criticism, right?
Right. Like, who cares? Like, if it's like, I'm the same way. Like, when I play something, oh man, I wish this wasn't like this. It's not like the whole game's broken. Let's just change this one thing.
Exactly. Like, this one thing, like,
you would rather be told that something's wrong and you can fix it than have people say, oh, this is so bad.
Right. Like, hey, this isn't working. Let's just fix it. Let's be solution oriented. You know, like, it's not, it's very easy. It's
right.
So easy. So, yeah, just, I mean, don't feel free. Feel free if something's wrong, let us know. Like, we have a Discord channel, and throughout development, just be honest with your feedback. It's not going to hurt anyone's feelings. So
exactly. So a little bit about the game. It's like a little bit more about like the controls for the game. PC wise, is it everything okay? I just heard an explosion. Or is it control wise? Is it WASD with keyboard and mouse, or does it have controller support?
Yeah, both. So Unreal 4 is great as far as supporting anything you have. So you have controller support. It plays great on controller and keyboard and mouse, and that's something I really want to make sure that it stays and feels good, because like I said, a lot of people say like ARPGs play better on consoles, but the style I think plays good on the keyboard. I play it a lot, so I think it's very fluid. You guys can give feedback on how you like it. I think it's very easy. It needs to be easy to switch between sword and spell, because you have to and switch between these different aspects. So I think I've done that. You guys can try it out later, but yeah, and on the controller it's great. So
nice.
We'll keep trying to improve it. So just the way it's set up, like the style of gameplay, it works well on both, so I'm pretty happy with it.
What are we looking for like minimum requirements?
I had them somewhere, and I think it'll be easier to post. My computer isn't the best that I'm building it on, so you're probably good. I did run it on a Pavilion 7 once, so.
So it can run on a potato.
I would not recommend playing the game on there, but they're pretty modest. If you can run like The Witcher 3, then you can run this game. And then of course you'll have settings to tone it down, but yeah. I'm pretty sure any moderate system will be able to run just fine.
Okay. I am a person with a lot of visual issues. Like, I'm half blind. And like, text is a major thing for me. It has to be well done. Like, it can't be a weird ass font that's impossible to read. And it also can't be super tiny. Is that stuff that you can tweak in there too, or?
We can put you can change that, so if there is text, you can set the size and stuff. That won't be a problem.
Sweet. Yeah, because like, one thing I'm dealing with right now is giving a game for review, and it's literally impossible for me to play because I can't see anything on and it's a text heavy game. It's a JRPG. Like, I can't read a single thing on this screen. And making it impossible for me to enjoy, because there's not a lot of, there's no English backing. Like, there's no English voice acting.
So, right. No. And that's another thing. Like, I'm not a big reader. I mean, I like reading, but for games, like, I really love the voice acting. So we're going to, some of that money is allocated for voice acting. So the way the dungeons go right now is that it's kind of like, a narrated style. Once you get in, there's either someone with you or kind of like an over voice that tells you certain things that are going on, and it kind of narrates the dungeon for you. And I love that style. I'm an old D&D
Oh yeah, that's
I think it really adds to the whole thing because they can describe stuff and give a feel for the dungeons that you can't get just by going in there,
and it makes every dungeon feel unique too.
Exactly right.
Instead of going into the same
Warven
stronghold and finding the same story every time.
There you go. So you know, it's just stuff like that that I think. I really enjoyed, so I want to put in those aspects, and that's what some of the money is for. So
nice. Let me take a look back here at the. I have like 1,001 windows open right now. So right now we got. I mean, again, you're 31,000. The angelic demonic. Is that new races or?
That's new races. Yeah. So it's one that's been requested the most, and. It's one that we were going to have in anyway, because it goes with the story. So just to set the stage, I don't know if I've released much of the story out there. So a long time ago, a reverend came back and used himself to power a gate to oblivion. So what came through oblivion was this miasma. So back then, everything was on the surface. They couldn't fight against because it keeps spawning all these monsters and stuff. So the only solution they had was to get these islands, shoot all the islands into the air. So they lived. So they did that, lived above, you know, the miasma for some time. And so now they've kind of flourished up there and everyone kind of forgot what happened. But the magic holding the islands in the air is fading. So they're harvesting float zones from other islands, transporting them to the main cities and stuff to keep the islands afloat, right?
Yeah.
But eventually all these islands are going to go back to the surface. So the closer they get to the miasma, the more monsters that spawn, the more incidents you have. Like you have a farmer whose corn crop came alive and now they're trying to summon their corn-based god.
That is awesome.
Children of the corn.
Corn-based god. I want to be a corn-based god.
So they're going to send you to go deal with this stuff. And so that's kind of where it is. But then there's also like a political aspect where people think that the wild... So to create a wild mage is very easy. You just take a person... You stick them in a room with the miasma. If they live, great, you're a wild mage. If they don't, they either go crazy, becomes a monster, or like a phantasm or something. And then they're thrown into this catacombs, right?
Yeah.
So there's a ratio of how many people live and how many people don't. So right now, like, as the islands are floating down, people are blaming the wild mages for stealing the mana from the islands to power their magic. So there's kind of like a disconcern with the mages. At the same time, the islands are falling. There still needs to be a solution. So it's kind of a mess.
Okay. Carrie wants to know if the corn-based god is a rival of the potato god.
Maybe. You know, there's a lot of vegetables incorporated here. So
with this, and now you have like me. I love that kind of story. Now, like, is the wild mage like selection process going into the miasma, is that like required from people, or is that a you sign up for this kind of thing?
So when they first started, you know, it was prestigious, like, and they, you know, you trained and blah blah blah. But the ratio is so small that eventually they just started throwing anyone in there and, you know, hope for the best, because the only people that can face the stuff that the miasma is throwing out are the mages. And as the islands start falling, the need for wild mages increases because they're the only ones that can fight against the monsters.
Okay.
Right. So they just started throwing everyone in there. Your story, however, is you just become one by accident. So
nice.
You're not part of the system. You're just kind of out there doing whatever. You get recruited, you know, you don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And that way you can learn about the world and stuff as you go.
Okay.
I was explaining the angels and demons thing.
Oh, you're fine. Sorry. I hung up on the corn-based god. I apologize.
You know, it just goes blank after that. So dense miasma pretty much breaks down reality. So it creates holes in between the planes. So the astral plane, the plane of air, plane of fire, whatever. So the angels and demons, like they have to join in because it's becoming a huge problem. Like reality is pretty much breaking down on top of all this other stuff that's going on. So everyone's kind of working for a solution because it's pretty bad.
Sweet. Can you become a corn-based god?
I'm not going to give away a lot here, but it is possible.
Yes!
Only for
final Kickstarter goal. Only you were to hit the corn god.
You're transforming this game into like something completely different, CJ.
What, me? I would never do that. What are you talking about?
Why is everyone a vegetable?
Wild sage.
Oh, Josh.
Tonight we stalk the non-believers. Hey, spoiler alert, because most of the people that play in my home D&D game are watching it or on the show. Guess what I found out is the big bad of the new campaign we're playing.
Oh, no.
A shepherd's pie?
Excellent.
What are you most proud of in this for this entire project?
Oh,
saying the game itself is a cop out, and I'm not going to allow that answer.
No, that anyone's actually supporting it. I mean, that's awesome. The first time, you know, it's like, oh, maybe someone will like it. Not so much. And so the response we've gotten afterwards is pretty great. And you know, a lot of people keep telling me the same things that, you know, I feel as a gamer. So all that's pretty awesome. I think that's the best thing to get it made, to get something that everyone will enjoy. That's pretty good. So
nice. No, absolutely. That's fantastic. And it's always nice when you get people who people actually actively love what you're doing. And that's
who is in it for making a good game and not for getting
anybody. Right. You know, at first I thought, oh, everyone's going to really like this. You haven't been able to do this on it at all. And not so much, but my presentation sucks. So, you know, polish that up a little bit. It still needs a lot more polish, but I think the core concept's there. And so I think it might be easier to see the vision now than before. So,
yeah,
you know, but all in all, the response has been great. So
you might just need a little olive oil for the potatoes and the corn.
All butter, olive oil, you know, something. You'll throw some butter on top of the airship. Fly faster.
We have a vegan on the group, on the team, and somebody who is ovo-lacto pretty much. So it's like,
so wait, vegetables would are you,
a major thing for us.
Some chives.
Would you be able to eat anamorphic living vegetables?
Yes.
If they tried to kill me, yes.
Yeah. What's your stance on veganism and murdering
anthropomorphic, but sentient?
Yeah, anthropomorphic, that's the word.
Oh, okay.
what is something that's other than, you know, your own pitch and kind of, and as a content creator, I understand like trying to deal with your own comings of one way or the other is really hard. Like, what is one thing that you would love to have known even before you started this, or what is something that you wanted to improve on for this?
I mean, there's a lot I want to improve on. For the game itself?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just for everything entirely. I wish I would have known more about like fundraisers and Kickstarters and all this stuff. I learned a lot. I mean, a lot. Cause it's a whole nother world. It's nothing like making a game. There's a lot more involved. So I wish I would have known all that before, you know, I started, because I would have just kept working on it instead. Cause it obviously wasn't ready. And so just that, other than, other than that, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I want to improve, but I think now is still a good time. Cause you know, we're still forming the whole world. So it's good to get feedback and release a demo, get an idea of how people feel about where we're at right now.
That's awesome. What were some of your major lessons learned from the first Kickstarter?
Oh man. Yeah. Like do better videos. My videos were, I don't know if you saw them. But yeah, like I had to activate Windows cause you know, I just reinstalled everything. So I didn't really, I was like, oh, it's fine. You know, and my wife's like, don't you want to make a better video? And I'm like, no, it's good. It's good. This is awesome. What are you talking about?
Listen to your wife.
Yeah, always listen to your wife. I don't know if you know that. But, better. I don't. What was I talking about? Man, just better content. Yeah. Just take the time to do the presentation, or else you're not going to deliver your vision. No one else is going to be able to see it. That kind of thing. And make sure someone else is looking at it and giving you feedback. Feedback is great. Yeah. Cause I'm lost in the mechanics of it. I'm lost in
the world. You're making the game. It's like,
I'm in a whole nother world. So to me, it makes perfect sense. But to her, she's like, I don't know what's going on here.
Absolutely.
Good. If anyone else is listening to this and they're in development or trying to make something, always just stop. Talk to your friends, send them what you got and polish it as much as possible. So you're not losing the vision. You know what I mean? You want to make sure you're getting that across at least.
Yeah. Definitely. That's all I really have. Raul Delbert.
No, I mean, you've pretty much covered everything. I mean, we know Kickstarter is a big pain at times.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot, like, you know, messages and you have this and emails filling up. And so it's hard to, if I don't get back to everyone in a timely manner, I apologize. So we're trying to do our best with the flood of people, questions and what have you. So, but if you have any questions, feel free to on the Discord server or in the message board on Kickstarter or email, you know, everything's there. So you can get our email from the website. Facebook, what have you, and we'll try and get back as soon as possible. But yeah, we love the comments, we love the feedback.
Awesome.
Nice. What's the Discord?
Do I link it? Just gives me a link. I'm new to Discord, so I apologize for that.
If you put the link in the Zoom chat,
I can do it. It's Wild Mage Phantom Twilight, but it whenever I try to share it, it has a link. So I don't know if that's
it's like discord.gg.
I'm not sure, but I can put a link somewhere for you guys.
Yeah, that because we can get that out there. Is it on the page? Is the Discord on the page anywhere?
On
wildmagegame.com.
Not yet. No, I should put that up there.
The giant to-do list that you've got, right?
Oh man, yeah. I think I did something and then turns out I never did. You know what it's like. I'll get that up there.
I absolutely know what that's like.
It's like, especially when you're happy about it, you know, like, oh man, yeah, that's great, I finally got that done. Oh wait, yep. Never got that done.
Yeah.
Terrible.
All right, I'm kind of letting the see if we can get. We had some issues in the chat here. I'm letting the chat catch up a little bit, see if they have anything for you.
Sure. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about you. When you're not busy being a dad or developing a game, which I understand is about 27 out of 24 hours of the day.
Oh man, let me tell you. Like, I started this right when we had Luna. So Luna Orion, my daughter's name is Luna. My middle name is Orion. So
that's awesome.
It's just a mix between there. So that's where the name came from. But yeah, we just had her. It was right before we had her. And then after we had her, man, I don't think I've ever been so tired. Yeah. So I work at night while she sleeps for 3 hours or so. And then, you know, she's hungry and then So yeah, it's harsh. After other than that, I used to play games. I try to get it in sometimes, but now it's just like I have to work on my game. But I used to play MMOs. I play Overwatch. I haven't played any of the player battlegrounds, and I think I've missed an entire genre, the whole survival genre.
Yeah, that's
I don't know nowhere. I don't know where it came from or what happened, but it's there, and I missed it. I don't know. I'm not that interested. Well,
It came out of the Armored 3 mod. Was it DayZ?
There's a weird like diagram of like there was a mod for the game, there was another mod for another game, there was another mod for another game, and I'm fairly sure all of it stems back to World of Warcraft 3 because that's how this works.
Right. Dota.
Yeah, everything comes from Warcraft 3.
Yes, the what we're dealing with now is a direct response to Warcraft 3, which is now like 20 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, those were good days.
So are you a big like RPG person, like are an ARPG person or?
Yeah, like games? No, I love RPGs, I love ARPGs. Like I played, you know, Zelda, I've played all the Final Fantasy, I played just squirrely ones, you know, like Temple of Elemental Evil, I've played stuff like Thief. I mean, pretty much everything back in my childhood. I've played so many games. I played stuff that no one's heard of, like Auto Assault. Do you remember that? It was an MMO once. You're a car, you shoot stuff. No.
No? What?
Sounds like Carmageddon.
No, yeah, it was
Twisted Metal, MMO. Like
they're like in a world that doesn't need another magic sword. Yeah,
one of those kind of things.
Yeah, well, no, because I beta tested for so many MMOs that I would be invited to, you know, beta test for whatever it is and give feedback.
Gotcha.
Stuff. And back when everyone was making one, you know, and they were mostly terrible.
Yeah,
but there's a few on the horizon that I hope are good. But I think scaling it down, especially since I have no time anymore, will be nice. Switch will be nice because you can sit on the couch or sit in your room or doing whatever my daughter is doing. You know, so that'll be good. I forget what the question was.
that is the brain of a dad and somebody who's incredibly busy. Like,
yeah, sorry.
Just start talking. Go off. What was I talking about? Wait,
what was it? I was trying to make a point. I'm not sure.
that the games that you enjoy.
Yeah.
You're very obscure.
Yeah. No, I love anything with a good story. You know, I'm big on those. It's been a while since I've been able to. I sat down and I loved games where I could sit down and get lost in it. And it would be, you know, 8 or 12 hours later, and you're still like, you know, you're still as psyched as you were before.
One more monster. One more,
or I could just do this real fast, and then it's the next day. I mean, I miss that. It was magical, you know.
Yeah.
The school bus is outside and picking up kids.
Right. And that's one thing I miss, and that's one thing I'm trying to bring in is that sense of wonder you used to have. Because as I keep playing, I keep seeing the same stuff. I don't see a whole lot of new innovation. The same stories, the same.
Yeah. Death.
And not that there aren't good games out there. I'm just, you know, I just kind of see it all kind of go downhill. So we really wanted to bring something, you know, that would bring that sense of wonder back, and stuff you don't always see and stuff you don't always do. And, you know, cause I think people just, I don't know if they stop trying or what, but yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that feeling again, where it's like, wow, what's going to happen here? I have no idea. I have no idea what they're going to do, you know, instead of knowing exactly what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And I need to stand on this rock or else, you know.
Yeah. When you can play a game and just kind of like.
That's the thing. Like you can read through, it.
Like, yeah, exactly. You're able
to
say.
When I go into some games, I know exactly what's going to happen. I know exactly what they're going to do. I don't know anything about the story. I don't know anything about.
Yep.
Who they are, but I know, you know, I already know
that guy. There will be no stakes. I will.
Yeah. So, you're going to do this. Okay. I'm going to stand over here and I'm going to shoot this in this direction and you're not going to be able to touch me because I already know all your mechanics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's one thing that's, I can't do it. So
yeah, absolutely.
Try and bring something, you know, fresh.
And I love the fact that you are a bunch of these games coming out and looking, sadly, Fortnite, which is one of those player unknown battleground offshoots. Like, you're making a game these people are making a game solely to make a profit. I love the fact that you are making a game that you want to play. That makes me so happy to hear.
Yeah.
And that's really the driving difference. Like, okay, so I knew nothing about, game development or developers or anything. And when I first got into, I would make stuff on my own, right? But I was never in the industry, right? And yeah. So I've learned a lot about the industry. I've learned a lot about people in the industry. And like, now that I'm in all these circles and they follow trends and they like, whatever's hot right now, that's what they're going to make. So right now you're going to see a million of whatever it is. These are, player battleground unknown ones, right?
Yeah.
So everyone's making that. Before, everyone was making like Overwatch game, and so they kind of follow the money.
Yeah, and before that, it was the Minecraft,
right? Minecraft, style. And so you know, yeah. At some point, we've got to get back to, you know, I just wanted to, make a game,
You
know, be made, right? You know, this has nothing to do with money, so. We want to make a game everyone can enjoy, and really focus on making it good. Like, forget about the how many million. But the thing is that I have a lot of luxuries, right?
Yeah,
I don't have to follow the money. Like a lot of them, they do. Like,
when
Epic made Fortnite, they stopped. They didn't want to make God of War anymore. They wanted to make their own stuff. They're really good. They have the engine. Without this, like none of this would be possible. So I'm very grateful for them. But they have a lot of people to support and a lot of goals to meet and stuff like that. Yeah. And a lot of the game developers, they have those things. They have investors. They have people that have to support. So yeah, they've got to, you know, try and meet those goals. I have none of that. So that's, you know, that's one of my benefits is that I don't have anyone to support, so I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about following into the same line.
Right. So, so no one's going to tell me I need to do this or I need to do that. It's going to be, we're going to do this because it's what we need to do, you know.
And what you want to do.
Right. Yeah, I've seen some documentaries where it's like they're making a game that they grew up with. They're making a game that's difficult.
That's difficult. Yeah, when was the last time you played something hard?
Me, every week. I'm a Dark Souls lover, so.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, no, Dark Souls is great.
Yeah,
it is.
Because the developers of this game, they grew up with those Nintendo hard games, and they wanted to make a game like that.
Right.
And they made it for themselves. They didn't make it for anyone.
Right, and when it first came out, everyone's like, oh, it's so hard. Like, how are we going to beat it? But eventually, like, people are like, you know, since gaming is now more like there's more and more people playing games.
Yep.
People like me, I'm older, like I'm old, man. And like, so I have a lot more experience. So I need a challenge. Like I really need a challenge.
Yeah,
exactly. Like if
a game doesn't challenge me, I just zone out. Like
100%. Like, I mean, that's the reason why I like games. Like Bloodborne is one of the best games that I played in like a decade because not only one is it on a PS4 and I love that. Like, and it's one of the best games there, but it actually makes me think. Like I am a strategy RPG player. Like I like being able to like Final Fantasy Tactics. I cannot count how many hundreds of hours I have played Final Fantasy Tactics. And like
I want to be able to think about things. I do not like rolling in. Like if I'm like my kids are playing a game or something like that, like Kirby Star Allies for the Switch. Love it to death. It's cake, but
yeah, it's mindless.
Just want to shut my mind off and play that. But for the most part, like that's maybe an hour. Like that is me having a rough day at work. I want to eat some bad guys.
Right. Yeah. And there's games like that where you shut your brain off. Like,
yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah.
But yeah, if I'm dedicating multi hours to it, like I want to be challenged.
It's got to be challenging in some way, like, and not like stupid challenge, but something that makes you think.
Yeah.
You have to think about what you're doing. You can't just like la 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 la. A lot of games I can just la 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 la.
Precisely. Yeah. It's
face roll across the keyboard and you win.
Yeah, and I don't like that. Like, that's one of the reasons why I stopped liking like even World of Warcraft. Like it was no longer a challenge. Like
it was in the day, like it was good.
Yeah,
but now it's just like, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You cater to it's all to, you know, increase revenue to open the market to more people. And
right.
I get it. You know, it's a business. This really isn't. So
yeah, business is in business to make money. And yeah, that's the reason why like I love getting emails about indie creators and like and talking to you guys, because I've made a couple games on RPG Maker. That's about it on me. Like but like I love talking to creators of games, and it makes me so happy that you took the time out of your busy life to come on and talk to us. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's awesome.
I really enjoy talking to people who are passionate about their passions, about their
craft,
their hobbies. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, no, it's nice because a lot of times it's back when I first started, I'd get messages to like, hey, if you make 7 games a week, you know, you can make $500 a week. Just send out 7 games. I'm like, 7 games a week? Like, how do you even do this? He's like, oh, I know some guys, you know, they do 7 to 12. I'm like, what? So
those games are bad.
I don't know what that's all about, but it's just, I guess that's a thing though, you know. They're like, and a lot of times I hear things like, well, what you got to do is you just got to make as many games as possible, and then
It's the whole theory of
play the numbers. One of them's gonna make money. Like just make 1,000 games. Like
exactly. Throw enough crap at the wall, something's gonna stick. That's not a way to live. Like
yeah. So you know, and these things just that's what crafts the decision to do what we're doing now. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Everyone has their own reasons and their own techniques, but for us, this is what it's about. So.
All right, so we'll go ahead and get you off of here. Thank you so much for coming on. I really
appreciate
it. Where can people really find you at on the internet?
WildMageGame.com, LynnOrion.com, Facebook. Let me double check just so I say it right. Wild Mage Game, Twitter. I update Twitter a lot with videos and stuff like that. So go Twitter, Wild Mage Game. And yeah, we always have videos, new gameplay stuff, just random updates at least once a day.
That's awesome.
So yeah, Twitter's good for that, even though it's just all bots. Like if you're looking at the feed, I'll at least have something up there.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so thanks so much for coming on. Like I just said that, but I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. Just keep me updated, and I'll keep you updated with the new builds as they come out, and you guys can try it out, stream it if you want.
All right. So let's go ahead and do the wrap up. All right. You can reach this show by, I just made a new email address, so I want to make sure that I get this correctly. I've been doing the same outro for every show for ages now, and like I mixed everything up on my own doing, and
I'll get the drink ready.
if you want to get a hold of us, you can do so by emailing us at gamergeeks@gmail.com. Nope. Drink. Gamergeeks@geek-io.net. Twitter, Facebook are all /geekioshow. You can give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, 727-489-4335, 727-489-geek. Or the one guy who keeps calling me asking me why I don't answer the phone, because this is not a monitored phone number.
Is he still calling?
Yes, he's still calling. It's no longer like weird things, like it's just a guy calling and saying, why don't you pick up the phone? And I don't even know if it's for a Geek.io thing. He's literally just, why don't you pick up the phone? Because it's not a monitored number. If you want to chat with us live, you can do so at geek-io.net/discord. If you want to support this stream and everything that we do on the Geek.io network, by head over to patreon.com/geek.io. You can get a custom, you can get a direct line to Discord with us where you can influence the shows that you love. And remember that you can tune to our streams here live Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/geek.io show. Make sure you smash that heart button, get a follow, and get notifications when we go live most days of the week. All right, guys, this is a lot of fun. We should do this more than once a year.
Well, E3 is coming up.
Indeed, coming up. Lucas, thanks so much again for hanging out with us. And for the one guy who's in chat got banned, it wouldn't be a chat stream without somebody getting banned, apparently. all right, guys, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're not hitting the thing, Raul.
Hi, my name is Water Buffalo, and I hope you've enjoyed this Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2018, you see how that works?
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.